Blog Talk Radio.
Charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see twilight land gleaming
man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to
sing on.
Every voice and sing, till it didn't ever ring, ring with the harmony, oh, let it be. Let our rejoicing rise high, loud as the orgia.
Delegation wants a donation. Send the preacher.
the Holy Land. Hey, hey, Lord, honey, don't give me your money to that lying, a cheating man. Santa, that night in the Harlem. Hey, hey, everything ain't all right. You can really swing and shake your credit thing apart to the outside. Sunday morning here in the Harlem, now everybody's all dressed up. Out of hip hop, yes, and a honk from the party, and the good folks just got up. Ah, Christian delegation wants a donation.
Say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. I'm black and I'm proud. I tell you, I am really proud today, as always, but I'm especially proud today. You know, you don't be proud in sadness, but there's a reason, and I'll tell you in a minute. Good morning. This is Dorothy Wright Tim with Coffee, Tea, and a Conversation with Me. This morning early in Chicago, Illinois, at this great station, WVON, who's on iHeartRadio and also on Twitter. We're on www.wvon.com, and we also call in. But this is in Chicago. And I know a lot of my students that I spoke to at Howard University on Monday, I know they're listening this morning. Good morning, Howard University. How are you doing this morning? We're so glad to be here. You know, we went to Washington on Tuesday. We were in there. We were there Monday because we had to speak. We spoke at a high school and at one of the black universities, which was Howard. We were supposed to also be at Georgetown, but we had to end up canceling because of the time lapping being there with the Howard University students, which we're going to talk about today. And I really want to talk about, you know, I guess I got to get back on that circuit because I had been away from the college campus for a little while because I think the students need to hear us, and I think we can inspire them, those of us who are talking about movement and trying to move that next generation. I really enjoy it. I was there to be a part of the ceremony for the awarding of the Congressional Honor Medal to the little girls who was bombed in Birmingham, invited by the Speaker of the House, John Boehner. It was introduced in Congress in May by Sewell, the first black woman congresswoman. I was going to have her on this morning, but her father got ill. So I'm going to try and get her next week if I can. I called, but her father's ill, and she couldn't come today. And they're getting ready for a big thing in Birmingham tomorrow with the Black Caucus and all the other people that's going to be father having the ceremony in Birmingham. I told him I just couldn't come to Birmingham. I'm exhausted. I can't go. I got a lot of things to do here. Plus, we'll be down there in Montgomery in December, and possibly we'll be in Tuskegee with the Honorable Louis Mears Farrakhan in October. But it's a lot, so we have a lot to do, and we couldn't make it. Something inside me to hop a flight, Tillman, and going down to Birmingham for tomorrow's celebration. I still have not told them definitely I was not coming, but I told them 80% that I might not. The ceremony was something, and I was just talking to Courtney, who's my engineer, but also Matt McGill, producer, and I'm going to try to get with her and put different segments of that ceremony together to give you an opportunity to at least hear, because Matt might have a little bit more flexibility in time. I was going to put some together so you could hear different pieces of it, but as I pulled it down, I've not been able to separate it. But I will try to put something together and let you hear the different pieces from Matt. And I'm going to talk to Courtney. I might not do it Monday, so I can give you some heads-up time to talk about it later. But it's very important that you hear the resolution that was put together by Sewell, and also hear all of these other white senators and congressmen. This is the first time that a person have received the Congressional Medal of Honor for something like this. And to hear them, to hear the Congress lady from Maryland, I think she was from Maryland, to end her speech with the second verse of the Black National Anthem and to talk about how the children from Birmingham put their life out and fought. The children of the movement for freedom and was willing to go to jail and do things. And to hear them talk about this is the American story. Now, why do I want to put that out there? Because I want you to understand that the Black American story is the American story. And as I sit there and looked on that podium, I saw white Anglo-Saxon and I saw a black woman. And this struggle in this country have always been the white Anglo-Saxon and black people, because as we were enslaved and all the atrocities was put on us, it was our descendants of enslaved Africans in America, and it was the white Anglo-Saxon. And we don't really discuss that because we get our stuff all muddied up in the middle of everybody else's struggle, and then we get lost on what really happened to us and what's due us. And it was interesting to hear John Boehner mention that Frederick Douglass said, Power was conceived in oil without a demand. I was cracking up because he's right. Or to hear Sewell talk about that Rosie Parker was sitting in the rotunda, and if Jim Alita's out of town, but if you hear me, she can send me some of those pictures. But anyway, she was in, and I can put them on my website, sitting in the rotunda, and to hear that Rosie Parker is the only full-bodied statue in the Capitol. Interesting, because as I sat there, and I'm looking around at all these folks, and these are white folks, everybody, given that it was built by slaves. And we got one, as always. We all excited about one. There's a lot of stuff in there that we need to talk about so that black folks can understand this whole struggle. And Senator Shelby from Montgomery co-sponsored the ordinance in the Senate. But to hear all of them, and I was so proud of Congresswoman Sewell because it reminded me when we put the reparation ordinance together and all of those councilpeople had to sign on because it was truth. And Dr. King said, when you do truth, I don't care who they are, they have to talk about it. And to hear them describe what happened that day in Birmingham and to talk about our struggle as a people and how blacks made America a better place. And Dr. King always said that we wanted to redeem the soul of America. And the redemption that those girls and all of the people in the movement put on America. And it's interesting because I was telling Ebony on my way to the studio this morning that most of the people who try to criticize the movement that Dr. King led are also those who have benefited from that movement or they have elevated themselves from that movement on to look back and look down on the movement and try to talk about it. I mean, it was interesting because Sewell talked about, and I might find that clip for you, the day that girls was bombed in Birmingham, two boys, black boys, was killed at the same time. And what I love about Congresswoman Sewell being the first woman from Alabama, black woman, to be congressman, what I like about her is she says she stands on the shoulders of all of those people, all of them, who went before her and fought. I enjoyed fellowshipping with John Lewis. It was really great to be there with him, you know, as they talked about Selma and Nancy Pelosi were talking about the fact that our history is the American history and that when people to America, they need to look at what happened in the black struggle throughout America. And that's the discussion. One of the discussions we have to have in this country, American history, that black is part of the American history. And as I said to the students at Howard the other day, that they have to begin to get together. One asked me, said, what do we need to do? We want to do something. The young man asked me, and I said, so who are our generals? Ms. Tillman, I said, you are the general. That boy stood up and looked at me. I said, yeah, you have to be like Diane Nash and Jim Bevel and all of those students and John Lewis, all those students throughout the South who was in college, and they got together, and you got to study. And in your study, you begin to read different books. I told them about Chancellor William, Destruction of Black Civilization. It's interesting because when my children was going to school, my two oldest children, Destruction of Black Civilization was required reading in black colleges. Interest is not required now. And I gave them a list of books, but I told them they have to look at themselves and then look at, and they need to look at what the struggle we're in now and analyze and come up with solutions and move. Dare to struggle, dare to win. And they said, yeah. And I realized, and I said, we have to have black study in all of the colleges, but all of the schools and in these universities. We must insist that black studies are put back, and those that have them, that the descendants of enslaved Africans in America must teach those black studies. Because we have other people, another black from Africa or from the Americas cannot teach the struggle of black studies. They just can't do it. Because if someone from the other part of the diaspora other than the descendants of enslaved Africans in America teaches it, it's not going to be from the perspective that we went through because a lot of them don't understand. It will be from them being colonized in Africa, of them being enslaved in whatever the Americas. The America, United States of America, history is unique and is different because we built a country that made it possible for everybody who's over here now turning their nose and trying to destroy us and make us look like something is wrong with us. So our history is very unique, And we have got to get back on that. I remember when we were doing the reparation, and I'm going to put together those reparation tapes. I got to put them in a volume or something. You got to look at this. But we were doing the reparation movement. The reason we was able to pass the ordinance was because we show, and America cannot deny, and that's where people get off. They be all over the board. We got to stay really centered. America cannot deny that we built this country and where the wealth went and what happened to the poverty, and that we are still suffering from that, and that illness is still going on. Because if it was not going on, we wouldn't still be celebrating one. And we wouldn't have other folks who just got to this country, one generation. Durbin is a first generation born here. His mama was an immigrant. So he's going to fight for immigration. And I'm not saying that he should or should not, but you have folks who are one generation away making decisions for America, and they don't see our struggle. And then if you look all around in all of Congress and you look at the Senate, and you see who's there. And then they try to make black folks feel like we are down, something is wrong with us, as they attack us. So this history must be told. Black history must be told and taught in the schools and in all of universities. I made a decision when I left Howard. And one of the reasons I've not been able to travel on those universities, because we've been sitting here fighting city colleges about our building. We had been in a fight. We've been fighting and dealing with some other things and then trying to hold things together here. But I have to get back out there on that tour and go to these universities to talk about this stuff, because I inspired those students so much that their paper, the newspaper from Howard, called me on Wednesday to do an interview, and we talked some more. And they knew about the reparation. They asked me what was my most important legislation that I sponsored when I was alderman, and I told them the reparation ordinance, which is a very important ordinance, very, very important to gather evidence and to be able to move forward. And I also told them trying to protect our culture, that we were trying to protect our culture and trying to build a community for black people where we put in place that a certain segment of that area had to be held for black people, put together redevelopment that said this must be developed by black people, this must go to black folks' culture. And that's been amended since I'm out of office. It was not kept in place. So I talked about those two things, but they was amazed. So I guess I'm talking about what happened on the campus and what happened there, and to have heard what Shelby and said and all of them. It was awesome. And there's only two parents that's living. Of the one set of parents that's living, of the little girl who was killed, and they were there. And I guess I'm feeling because all of the people being there at the Capitol with the people from Alabama, and we're all grown now and older, but who really the children of that movement, you know, because I'm 66 now, but the children of that movement willing to do what we had to do, you know. And I'm not going to take no cynicism. I see somebody want to know anything come out of the ceremony. You're darn right it came out. A lot came out to have a whole open discussion, because everybody discussed and everybody talks about what happened to them. Every day you want to talk about the Jewish this and the Jewish that and other folks this and the Holocaust, and as they're building around that, there's nothing to talk about us other than the Dr. King statue. And he is not even standing up straight like Harold Washington, because a Chinese did his thing. They got him coming up short, up out of something, when Ed Dwight had designed it, mind you. And the same person who designed Harold Washington's statue really was working on it and had designed the whole thing, would have had Dr. King standing up. But here again, somebody outside of our culture developed it, and they had him kind of short. Just kind of enjoyed that, being there. And a little emotional, because I had flashbacks sitting there looking at Mrs. Parks on what happened when we was with her growing up as a child, being taught and thought about Dr. King and all of the children, but the children who you don't know about who was killed and beaten, the people who was willing to lay their life on the line. Very good ceremony. I still am not 100% sure I'm not going to get on a flight this evening and go to Birmingham. I doubt it, but I'm not sure. The other thing that's in the news, the president was supposed to be there, but of course he was upstairs meeting on Syria. But he had already signed the ordinance and the legislation back in May. And you know that was the same evening that he had to give his report on Syria. A little note on Syria. Syria. I don't know. I'm not saying. And by the way, I met with a couple of congressmen, and I was in one of the congressmen's office when this doctor that was on Channel 11 you saw the other night was there trying to lobby some congressmen to, was discussing as constituents of the congressman to talk to the president about waging war on Syria. And we had a lively discussion up there. And I was telling him about him having dual citizenship, and which was, he said he had family over there, and my thing with him was, okay, I understand that, but let's talk about America and you being an American. What effect do you think that would have? I think that kind of shocked him a little bit, because we don't have those kind of honest discussion with people. We don't do that. And I told him that we talked about the racism that's existed in this. And I want black folks to hear me very clearly, those who've been kicking Obama's butt. Because y'all know that when I think the president is wrong, I say he's wrong. When I think he's right, you know, and I'm not saying he's right or wrong here. I want you to understand, Americans, the American people, and especially black folks, never in the history of this country have any white country denied an American president the support to go to any kind of war. I told you, if America said, I'm going to war, they were spitting, Britain was there with the spit cup. I told you that last week. When they went after Gaddafi and Libya, and I told this man that he was very quiet. I said, when they went after Gaddafi in Libya, everybody under the sun, all your white European nations, all of them came after him. France, everybody was coming. Everybody was joining in to go get Gaddafi. And the only thing Gaddafi did was try to build the United States of Africa. He was building his country, putting the communications together. He did all those things. He did that. So they came to, they destroyed him, and they really destabilized that region over there. France, Europe, everybody, let's go get him. You're the powerful president in the world. But now, Russia, Putin can't disrespect our president like that. And he have never respected President Obama. And I submit to you, he have not respected President Obama because he's black. And his racism is showing. And if the president don't have to understand that he's being treated like that because he is black. And I'm not talking about war or non-war. You know, if anything Bush want, they did. Anything, they did it for him. But, no, we're going to put you in your place. And I'm not clear that President Obama understands that it's a very racist thing happening to him right now. I'm not saying he should go to war or not go to war. I saw some people down there in the peace movement that went down there and looked to see. Most of them down there was not our people. And the thing of it is that you got these first generation or either dual citizenship folks here trying to lead our foreign policy. And I think the black folks better put their energy into our policy here in this country, in Africa, in America, and in Africa. That's what we better focus on. We must do that. That's very important. And we have to be strong here so that Africa can be strong. But the descendants of enslaved, you know, have to deal with what's going on here. So just those two things, if you want to talk about it. And the schools, if you want to talk about that. With Burge and stuff, I laugh. Everybody apologizing these days. I heard Brookings say that about how he was fighting with to deal with Burge. Marion Stampson and I was on the Burge thing with Jane Byrne, and then we fought and introduced a resolution. Alderman Trotman and I put that thing up, and then Brookings joined in with us. We were some of the ones that was out there fighting Burge from day one. And when Brookings came into the council, he joined us, and we all began to fight about this whole Birch thing. But I really want to talk about us in America. And I want to talk about, if you want to talk about this war, the racism really that's existing We have to take control of our education system and how we got to get out here and really do these children what we do. You know, it's really, when I can't stand Pierce Morgan with his acts over here. We had to think, go back to Britain and tell them what you think. You getting paid all this money to sit in. You watched Pierce yesterday? Black folks better understand that we built the country, and folks who are first generation who have dual citizenship making decisions, and most of them don't like us. And they got all these things in their mind about us that's not necessarily true. Because if we had not fought and built this country, it would have no place to come. You listen to Talk of Chicago, 69 WVON. We're streaming live on www.wvon.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Oh, yeah, you can listen on iHeart. Well, and I know a lot of children, students at Howard is listening this morning. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on blackplanet.com, group Facebook. Get your coffee, get your tea. I've been talking a lot this morning, and I'll be back because I want you to talk to me. I love you. Black, 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 black. Be right back. Dorothy Wright Till.
Keep on holding me back. somebody. I wanna be somebody so bad. But something's holding me back. Oh, is it because I'm black? Is it because I'm black? Oh, is it because I'm black? Yeah, 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 hold on. Something is holding me back. Oh, is it because I'm black? Yeah, yeah. You see, I want diamond rings and things.
I'll think my credit score improved because I paid my bills on time, kept my credit card balances low, and only opened a new card if I really needed it.
It's the dust.
It's sand.
Don't deny the credit fairy.
There's no magic to improving your credit, but there is help, and it's free. Go to creditfairy.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the Consumer Bankers Foundation, the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights Education Fund, and the Ad Council.
At Habitat for Humanity, with your help, the numbers are adding up. 3 decades, thousands of volunteers, nearly 90 countries around the world. 300,000 houses, 1.5 million people living in simple, decent, affordable homes. But the most important number is one. One volunteer, one house, one family, one child, safe and sound, under a roof you helped her family build. Every 15 minutes, somewhere in the world, this story is repeated. One more home built. One more family helping to build and purchase their own home. Together, we can eliminate substandard housing. Won't you join us? Support the work of Habitat for Humanity in your hometown or wherever your heart leads you. Now more than ever, volunteer, get involved, and help build it. Visit us at habitat.org.
Slices, it dices. With razor-like edges that never need sharpening. It's not a blender. It's not a set of steak knives. It's Car Windshield. And now, it can be yours. Here's how. Next time you're in a car and the driver's driving recklessly, simply say nothing. That's right. Let them change CDs. Let them text on their phones. Ignore that little voice in your head that's trying to warn you. And you too can experience Car Windshield. Passengers who have tried Car Windshield agree. It's a smash. Car Windshield may not be for everyone, as it can lead to severe side effects and even death. Please consult your physician after you've experienced Car Windshield. Passengers who wish to avoid Car Windshield can do so by following simple steps, like trusting their instincts, speaking up, and telling their friends to slow down.
In the real world, there is no spokesperson to prevent reckless driving. There's only you. Speak up.
Act now. Paramedics are standing by.
This has been a message from the Ad Council. For more information, go to youarethespokesperson.com.
Jessica.
Hi, Mrs. Johnson. Is Megan there?
Sure. Follow me. The kids are in the kitchen making sandwiches.
Hey, Julie.
Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Megan. Hey, Megan.
Yeah?
You're a total freak. God, you're ugly. And dumb. Oh, and your makeup makes you look like a tramp.
Oh, my God.
Tommy Morris told me you guys made out. Everybody knows. The whole school knows. He said your breath smelled like garbage. And he almost puked. He says you're the most desperate girl he knows. And that dress is totally hideous. You look like a big fat clown. Disgusting. Oh, and by the way, nice zit.
If you wouldn't say it in person, why say it online? Delete cyberbullying. Don't write it, don't forward it. For more information, visit ncpc.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
I feel like I'm choking.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
You know how to react to their asthma attacks. Here's how to prevent them. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy.
Kilman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WBON.
Say it loud. I tell you. Hey, we back, y'all. Black and I'm proud. I had a wonderful day of those who heard me early this morning and talking about what happened and what all we did and how we got to move. And I'm just overwhelmed. I was seated with Congressman John Lewis and Conyers and all of us were together. But to be there with the Alabama people, children who have grown up, Doris Crenshaw and all of us, who have grown up in this movement. Also, I took Jamelita with me. So those who were seeing C-SPAN probably saw her sitting there. But, again, while we were there, we did a lot of other things, went to the Library of Congress and looked up some other stuff and things like that. But it was really something. It's been August and September have been very emotional, I guess, for me. And let me know that we can change. And we did change this country, and I'm not sitting by nobody telling me what we didn't do, because all those some of what we didn't do is enjoying all the fruits of our labor. And I'm not going to take it anymore. So I'm going to go to the phone. Ms. Huntington.
Good morning, Alderman Tillman.
Good morning.
I want to thank you for your participation with Congresswoman Sewell from my state of Alabama.
Oh, yeah. And you know, Ms. Huntington, when she was running, those of us from Alabama, we went down to her fundraiser and gave her some money, did we not?
Yes, we did. To honor those young people, my friend, former Representative Chris McNair, whose daughter Denise McNair was one of those recipients, and I'm very proud of that. Chris helped us to put together the legislation that Dr. Carl Marbury and I developed here in Chicago to make sure that Alabama A&M and Alabama State has a board of trustees. Before that, we were run by the Alabama State Education Department.
Uh-huh.
But I want to ask a question. Where are the 3,000-plus students that Chicago Public Schools has lost? We want to know where they are, what are they doing, and why is this safe passage every time I turn around? Somebody's being hurt.
Well, I read in the paper the other day, it's a freedom song we had too. Read in the paper just the other day, freedom fight on the way. But anyway, I read in the paper the other day, I was catching up on my reading as I came back, where like this one school near who have a charter school haven't even got open on some of their schools. I don't know what these students are, but that's we're going to have to do a whole thing next week on this whole piece of we're going to talk about the black people who have lost their jobs and where are these people, too, and what's going on in our communities as a result, and we can see where we are one. That's a good question. Thank you, Ms. Huntington.
And the other question is why one of these Magic Johnson universities can't open because the aldermen refused to let the
zonings
and things.
Oh, we had to. I know how that is, because we had a school where we was helping the children, and they was best they ever had.
Uh-huh.
Where we were giving them, teaching them training in the arts. We was training them how to build sets and all. But because they needed an amendment, a small amendment in that zoning, and the Alderman would not change it. Sometimes I don't know what that's the only power that some of our black leaders have is holding black folks down. What war was that?
That's right over at 71st in Exchange. There is a daycare center, and attorney Leon Walker has allowed Magic Johnson to use.
Well, I'm gonna tell you what we're gonna talk about it.
Facility.
We're gonna really talk about education next week, local education next week. I'm gonna talk about black studies and black colleges and black schools today.
And we must have Black history in our schools, because that is the only way the children can be proud of who they are.
That's right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and have a blessed day.
That's why I always take my grandchildren with me, so that they can see what's going on. Bob from New York. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Dorothy. How you doing?
I'm wonderful.
We sure appreciate you. You know, you're doing such a great job. You know, thanks for representing, you know.
Thank you, Bob.
Get somebody grassroots going to be there, you know, with a little history. But I was just going to say, when we first met, you know, you had packing house networking gatherings where people were learning, you know, culture and Black
right.
business and
right.
networking and history
yes.
and learning about our original diets. And we would
yes.
take bring youth with us that would get a taste of what we was about.
Yes.
We don't touch our people anymore. We used to go to the Regal on 47th Street and wait for entertainers and be able to actually touch them and get pictures from them and smile with them. Today, nobody touches you. We have to have a place like the Culture Center. It's the only jewel of its kind on the South Side.
Thank you. And I said
that. You all had to fight for that.
And we're still fighting.
Bob,
we're still fighting. Tell your friends from New York they can log on to Harold Washington Culture Center and send us a donation, or they could call Seaway and send us one. We're still fighting.
What I was going to ask you was, could you all be a platform for the youth with all that talent around there? They can help make millions.
We are a platform. We really are.
All right.
Keep
that should work.
Keep
well, thank you so much, Dorothy.
Thank you so much. Ebony, would you play that little clip from Boehner? This is Speaker Boehner and his welcoming us to the ceremony. Interesting, you know, Dr. King said truth will come out of somebody's mouth, and a bunch of them were selling it. Okay. I want to play the Boehner clip that he said. Should I go to somebody else? Okay, let me go to somebody else, and I'll come back to Boehner in a minute, and I'll see what he's saying. Lieutenant Colonel Janice.
Good morning, Dorothy. I have my tea, and I'm listening to you, as always, as I head up to military duty.
Uh-huh.
But you're right on point, Bob.
Are you still over in Korea? Are you back?
No, well, I was in Egypt. So
Egypt, okay.
Uh-huh. So I saw some of the stuff that was going on, and basically, especially the Egyptians, they're just fighting for their rights. Like, we fought for our rights, you know, tried to obtain those during the, you know, like you said, fighting with Dr. King and that.
Well, don't you think that this white European country across the world right now is disrespecting our president because he's Black?
No doubt about it. And as you said, I don't think he realizes it. Yes, I do think he realizes it, because Michelle Obama is not going to not allow him to realize what's going on. And it's interesting, as I look at, you know, on Facebook with my soldiers, how some of them are self-hating and disrespecting President Obama, the commander-in-chief.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do I agree with everything he's done? No, especially on education. However, if he tells me to take my butt over to Syria, that's what I'm going to do, because he's the commander-in-chief. Give the man his respect. And had these reporters been talking about some of the stuff they're talking about when it comes to Syria, when we went into Iraq, maybe we would not be here today.
Right. Let me ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
You know, but the thing about one thing you can say, because he said, I'm going to take you out, haven't nobody been killing nobody recently, and I'm not trusting Putin and none of them folks. And I'm just telling Black folks, and even especially the descendants of enslaved Africans in America, he might not understand, but we understand what's going on here. And we got to be very clear. Most of these folks got dual citizenship. They're going to get up out of here, and you're going to be left here. And he... You know,
one dual citizen that I wish he would just shut up is that Ted Cruz, the nerve. Yes, I understand, and we just have to be diligent and support him. Yes, be critical when criticism is necessary, but if you didn't say nothing under the commander-in-chief Bush, don't you say nothing now. That's how I feel about it.
Well, you know, I'm not saying I'm for war. I was just looking at what they did to Gaddafi and what these white countries. Let me ask you one other question, Lieutenant Colonel Janice. You know, like the Tulsa was built for men who came back from the service. They had money, and they had certain things they could do because they'd been in the service. Black folks built a middle class based off the fact of some of the perks and stuff they got come out of the service. Have you found that a lot of Black folks not going in the service anymore and getting that discipline or doing anything like that? That even these when you look at some of the most militant ones, when you look at Small and even Dr. World and all of them, they were in the service and they came out. They learned discipline and came out. Do you find a lot of black folks are not going into the military now?
Yes. Now, I'm not an advocate of war, but I do tell them this is the best kept secret there is, and you need to find the facts. Do your research. See the good and the bad and the ugly, because I give that to people who come to me about the military. But the benefits definitely outweigh the bad. Now, has it been easy for me? No, it's still not easy, because they see that I'm climbing towards that top, and we have the blacks that don't want to see you successful, and definitely the whites, because I'm not stupid.
Well, they're over there getting all these benefits. They're coming back, and they're crowding all these colleges, and they're doing all this stuff. But I was just a whole nother discussion. We're going to find out what it is and what kind of structure and stuff. Well, thank you. Keep listening. I appreciate your call.
Oh, no doubt. And you have a great day and to your listeners as well.
Thank you so much. I'm
okay,
gonna, bye-bye. I'm going to play this little clip. It is just some of the stuff that was going on. I was cracking up a bit. That's when you tell the truth, they got to tell it. This is Boehner, House Speaker Boehner, as he was speaking, tears in his eyes. You got him? I can't hear him.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Speaker of the United States House of Representatives, the Honorable John Boehner.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon and welcome to the United States Capitol. This year, the Congress is celebrating the heroes of the Civil Rights Movement, a time that proves that Frederick Douglass was right when he said, if there's no struggle, there's no progress. Among the beacons between his time and ours, four little lights stand out. It was 3 weeks to the day after the March on Washington. Martin Luther King Jr. back at the pulpit, but this time in Birmingham, Alabama.
Thank you. That was him saying. Boehner was him.
Not there to sermonize. Not there to sermonize.
He said that there's no struggle. There's no progress. Power can seize nobody without a demand. Never have, never was. Interesting, y'all. I just want to play that. That's the kind of stuff that was being said throughout. Black woman and white Anglo-Saxon. We're discussing the Birmingham, what happened at the ceremony and what's going to be going on Sunday. What's happening to us as descendants of enslaved Africans in America, what we have to do. And the fact that speaking at Howard the other day, understanding why those of us who are conscious have got to get back on those campuses, because we will receive very well. Listen to Talk Chicago 1690 WVON. We're streaming live on www.wvon.com. Our number is 773-591-1690. We also on iHeartRadio. We're on group Facebook. We're on Blog Talk, y'all. Blog Talk Radio. We're on Blog Talk. You get your coffee. You get your tea. This is Dorothy Wright Tillman with coffee, tea, and a conversation with me. We'll be right back.
Summer is here, and the talk.
Hello, sweet mama, I'm going through a drama. How's about a love-a-rama? Hello, pretty baby, sophisticated lady. Oh, where'd you catch that class?
Gonna give you up. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind.
It don't matter, don't matter. I've been to the mountaintop. I've been to the mountaintop. He allowed me to go up, and folks thought it was some kind of pie in the sky. If he allowed me to do this, and I know we're going to be all right, because I've looked over, and all the things that we fought for, all of the things we fought for, it's going to be all right, y'all. It's going to be all right, because I know our people are going to help rebuild communities. Never expect folks to take their money, take their resources, and run away. And those who reaped it, then some of those who know better turn around and try to dump on him. Hey, y'all, take a deep breath. It's that time. It's that time. It's that time. Take a deep breath, y'all. It is that time. Wherever you are in the country, in the world, in Chicago, outside of Chicago, in the state of Illinois. Hey, hello, Howard University. Y'all listening? This is y'all first black moment together. Black, Courtney Ebony. Black, Dorothy Jean. Black, and Harmony is listening to me this morning, my little grandbaby, black, all of my grandchildren, Dorothy Darlene, Dorothy Jean, artists, and all of y'all, Jamoki and Eboom. Let me go back to the phone. Listen, Talk Chicago, 1690 WVON, our number is 773-591-1690. We're streaming live on www.wvon.com. We're also on blackplanet.com. We are on Facebook. We are on Twitter. We're on Blog Talk, and we're on iHeartRadio. This board is lit up. We've been talking about the ceremony in Washington the other day, and it's put on by Sewell, the first black congresswoman from Alabama, strong black woman, and they're going to continue the ceremony on Sunday. I'm supposed to be there, but I think I will not because I got so much stuff to do. I enjoyed being there with all of those children who've grown up. And now that from Alabama that was in that movement, whether it was in Selma, Montgomery, Birmingham, wherever you were, or just in Alabama. Yeah. Welcome back, y'all. Dorothy Wright Tillman, coffee, tea, and a conversation with me in Chicago at WVON. We're having a conversation this morning. And I'm going to play something from the congresswoman who sponsored the bill. And as I told y'all, that's American history. That's American history. Black folks, white Anglo-Saxon. And they can't get away from what we went through and how we changed the soul of America. There's no way they can get away from that. The only way America is able to get away and slide down a pole and talk about us and to us is when they get us outside of what we've done. And you have all these first generations in here talking mess and trying to pass judgment on us. The other thing I talked about, I'm not saying I'm for or against the war or what the president should do, but I know it's strictly, I hope he understands it, it's all racism, why they doing this mess to him. It is. Trust me, because whatever America wanted to do, Europe was always there, and France and all the rest of them. They had no problem with destroying Gaddafi. Look in the mirror and understand what they're doing, and don't join in with them. I'm not telling you to support the war, but we certainly cannot join in with our oppressors, who was also part of that slave trade. I think I wanted to play Sewell if she's ready. If not, I'm going to go to the phone for one moment, and I'll come back and play some Sewell. Minister Plump, you've been waiting all morning. How you doing?
Fantastic. Good morning, WVON listening audience and black.
Thank
as
you.
The world's greatest alderman, Dorothy Wright Tillman.
Thank you.
Yes, and I just wanted to say thank you, too, for your presence in representing us, you know, the people here in Chicago, America, and the world in peace, love, and unity, and remembering, you know, Alabama. And really, when we think about Selma was the march back in the day, right down to the modern time and the present and the future that's in our history that really changed America.
Right.
And you know
what, Minister Plump? And we got to do it. We got to give our just due to Montgomery, who is really the foundation, who really lifted up Dr. King and raised him with Mother Mother Parks. How we lifted up Dr. King through the MIA and the founding of SCLC, put together by black ministers who believed in black liberation theology, not just pie in the sky.
Right. I'm working with the grandson of Nixon.
Okay.
Right, which is Lionel Nixon. He's one of our media persons that's working with us on the board of
directors. I knew Mr. Nixon. I knew most of those folks because my pastor, Reverend Fields, and I got to get him on, he's getting older, was one of the leaders in Montgomery. Our church was bombed, too. A lot of churches and stuff was bombed during those days. You know, I
right.
tell folks all the time when they be criticizing us, I want to know what you willing to put on the line. If you ain't willing to put
That's
nothing
right.
on the line, shut up.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I'd just like to say also tomorrow we're going to have a special guest, which is Patricia Harden, that's running for the Cook County Commissioner for the 3rd District. And
we want to make sure. Okay, hurry up.
And we are launching our campaign.
Well, let's talk about that later because we want to stay on where we at, Minister Plunk. Want to stay right here. Let's talk about it another day and tell her if she wants some airtime, she better buy some time. Thanks, Minister Plunk. I tell you, we need the airtime. You got to buy some time, Pat knows. Want to be on the air? You got to buy some time. Hey, Jay. Hey.
Hello.
How you doing?
Yeah, hi, how you doing, Mr.
I'm Jones? Wonderful, AJ.
I am, certainly are, and I would just want to just make a brief statement. One of the things that I think would be very good, if we could, or if there could be somebody taking interest in developing a program called Man Up, and Man Up would be exactly for teaching our young men to go. You remember when they used to have, what they used to call it, it used to be one school that all men went to, all the boys went to, or something
mm-hmm,
like that?
Mm-hmm.
Right, and I
remember the Deacons of the Fence too. They was really manned up. You remember the Deacons of the Fence? This is a hold up. This was protecting the community. Deacons of the Fence. We got to do it on all levels, you know.
Right.
They got to man up and get out here and take these streets too, so the kids, children can feel.
Right,
we don't need no safe passage. We just need man up with our men taking. You know, come on. I saw Ron Emanuel in the paper when I got back. I was looking through the papers, and he was he had all of these women around him. I think it was some of safe passage or education. Some he was talking about, but it was nothing but a lot of black women around him. And
uh-huh.
I'm saying, wait a minute. And they was standing there. I want to agree on what he was saying, and I'm trying to figure out, okay, how they got there and what's going on with this.
Well, see, that's all going along with the object of they're getting black men all the way out of the way and stuff, and we need a strong person. I mean, somebody, I've been talking about this for quite some time now. We need to develop a class, a school, a place that we can meet at, and this will be exactly the job that we will go out there and do what needs to be done.
I think we have to do that. And, you know, in Africa, it's a tradition for the men to get around a tree and be talking or meeting somewhere and talking about what's going on in the community and how to solve some of the problems. When they close down our pool halls and our clubs and telling you can't be in the park for a certain time, most of the places that black folks used to just gather and talk, because when you're in their places, you don't talk the same way. They begin to shut down. And some of our own leadership participated in shutting down places. But our people have got to get together, and they got to have earnest discussions to the problem and then coming up with some solutions. And it can't just be on the radio, and it can't just be every now and then. But they got to have places where they gather and just talk, other than sitting in them white clubs or sitting around them other folks talking, because we talk different around them.
Right, that's absolutely correct. So I said, what I was going to do, I was going to let Ms. Chairman here, because I think we can watch this.
Man up.
Name on the table. Man up.
Man up. Thank you so much. Do we have the Congresswoman piece ready? We don't have I'm going to make sure. I want to play some of her and to see just what Manson.
Hey, Hotep, sister.
To you too, my brother.
Hey, congratulations on your positive action in Washington, D.C.
Thank you. I went from one man to another man. I jumped over somebody to come to you.
Now, did you tape your presentation?
No, I didn't make a presentation. I was there.
Oh, I thought you spoke.
Oh, no, this was this Congresswoman time to shine.
Oh, okay.
What they did is they brought all of the children who had been part of it. She had Boehner to invite. Boehner invited us to come and participate in this along with the family.
Oh,
and they're
okay.
going to be also in Birmingham on Sunday, but I'm not going to be able to go there on Sunday. But, no, just to be there to look at and to begin to talk and to watch this black woman in the white Anglo-Saxon discuss a part of our history, understanding what the truth is. And wasn't no in-between, wasn't nobody else there in the middle of it muddying up. We was able to talk earnestly about our atrocities and what happened to us.
Okay, now you did speak at the house, at the
At Howard, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, I think Jim Alita taped that. I had a good time there.
Good.
And what I found is, man, son, we have got to hit them. We got to get back out there because the sisters and brothers are hungry and nobody's giving them the right direction.
Well, you know, Sister Dorothy, I've been making periodic rounds here to Chicago area colleges and universities with my pass out literature, and I do some program. You know, here and there in terms of Black History Month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have to definitely impact those college and university students. I was going to suggest that perhaps you might want to put your presentation to Howard students on YouTube for students around the country to learn and study and learn from.
Well, we'll have to see what all Jim Alita tapes, and I'll let you know.
Yeah, I have two YouTube videos, and I urge the college and high school students to check it out.
We got to get them to encourage them to be like the college students was back in the 60s.
Exactly. You know, they have a cultural responsibility, as Kwame Ture used to tell them all the time.
Right.
You know, the students are the spark, or one major spark.
Young folks all over the world is fighting. Our young folks ought to get back in.
Right. Now, I wanted to announce to your audience that Sister Evangel Yahweh Nubian, a.k.a. Mama D, is doing a program honoring the memories of those four little girls, who got bombed, killed in the church on tomorrow,
Where's she going to be at? They're going to be doing it in Birmingham, too, but where's she going to be at?
Yeah, she's going to be at the Evening Star Methodist Baptist Church.
Where's that?
That's located at 2050, 2050 West 59th Street, four blocks west of Ashland. I don't know what the exact street is.
And what time again?
At 2:30. In the afternoon.
And the name of the church again?
It's free, of course. And they want to use the spirit of the children injured and murdered in the movement to motivate today's children to stop, the murder and stop being, fearful and all of that kind of thing. So Mama D has been on the front lines all
day. She's been out there. That's why she calls. She always got something to say. She don't just call to talk.
Yeah, well, she's awesome. And, we need to support this effort especially. So that's tomorrow. Sunday.
Okay.
Come on out to, Evening Star Methodist Baptist Church.
Okay.
2050 West 59th Street, 2:30.
Whoa, two blocks west of Ashland. Thank you, man, Song. I'm going to place Congresswoman Sewell, who's from Selma, Alabama, the first black congresswoman in Alabama. And I'm so proud of this woman. And she was strong up in there. She's not planning. She's doing a lot of other things, too. And they're going to have a great time tomorrow. Congresswoman Sewell, who... Those from Alabama know that we went down to support her bid. We raised money when she was running, and she has not disappointed us.
Today we gather to honor the lives of four precious little girls, Addie Mae Collins, Denise McNair, Carol Robertson, and Cynthia Wesley. To Cynthia's family and in legal documents, she was known as Cynthia Diane Morris. The four little girls died in the sacred walls of the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama, 50 years ago this week, as they were preparing for Sunday school. They died at the hands of a system that remained silent, silent about blatant, violent acts of hatred. Well, today, 50 years later, we remain silent no more. Today, Addie Mae, Denise, Carol, and Cynthia will finally be recognized as agents of change who lost their lives, and it was pivotal in the struggle for equality. The American people, through its representatives today in the nation's capital, will bestow the highest civilian honor that Congress can bestow upon these four little girls in recognition that out of this tragedy came a movement that inspired our nation and impacted the world. The senseless deaths of the four little girls serves as a catalyst for legislative change. 50 years later, we finally honor their life and legacy. Justice delayed, but not denied. God is good. I believe it is befitting that we would honor four little girls from Birmingham under the watchful eye of another Alabama daughter, Rosa Parks. Rosa Parks, whose statue was dedicated this year and has the distinction of being the only full-bodied statue of an African-American in our nation's capital. We are blessed to be joined today by Sarah Collins Rudolph, Addie Mae's sister, who was the lone survivor of the bombing. Sarah, will you please stand? Sarah was in the ladies' bathroom with the four little girls that morning and sustained serious injuries, which she still suffers from today. Sarah represents the great resilience of those who suffered from injustice and who showed extreme courage in the face of incredible adversity. This nation honors you as well today. In the audience, we are also joined by a host of family members representing each of the four girls, including Mr. and Mrs. McNair, Denise's parents, who are the only surviving parents of the girls. These family members embody a level of reconciliation and forgiveness that is unique to the human condition. They do not speak or act with resentment or anger, but rather with elegant dignity. We owe these families a debt of gratitude for what their resilience and strength has taught all of us. Will the family members please rise to be recognized? All of the family members. The events of Sunday, September 15, 1963, and the young, innocent lives that were lost that day transformed our nation. On that day, we not only lost the lives of four little girls, but we must not forget that two young boys, Johnny Robinson, 16, and Virgil Ware, 13, who were also killed in Birmingham within hours of the church bombing. Today, we know that the movement that transpired from those tragic events liberated not only a people, but a nation gripped with hatred and apathy. With the recent Supreme Court decision on the Voting Rights Act, we know that progress is always under attack and that political gains are elusive. Old battles become new again, and the struggle continues. We still have much work to do. Until we reach the day when justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream, we must not stop working towards freedom and equality. I hope that this ceremony will help all of us to recommit ourselves to the cause of justice and equality. We must combat all efforts to dismantle the rights that freedom fighters died for. This is how we can fulfill the tremendous legacy of Addie, Carol, Cynthia, and Denise. While the names of the four little girls will never appear on the roll call here in Congress, their legacy truly paved the way for me and so many others to serve here in Congress.
I tell you.
I know that the journey that I now take as Alabama's first black congresswoman would not be possible had it not been for the journey of Addie, Carol, Denise, and Cynthia.
Thank you. I tell you, this is portions of the congresswoman from Alabama who have an understanding as to why she's in office and understand that she do stand on the shoulders. So often we put people in office and they don't know whose shoulder they're standing on or what they're there for, and they really are frightened to fight. The only time they will fight for something if it's general, but if it's really on behalf of the blacks, they be scared. They still scared. I tell you, this is really something. It is something. I am really, Janice, how you doing this morning?
Oh, that was beautiful to hear, Ms. Tillman, very beautiful.
Thank you.
But, you know, so many of our, I was thinking about, so many of our young children can't even read now if they want to read black history.
Right.
I thought it was so beautiful. You had that thing at the final, at your, at the Harold Washington Center with math,
Oh, yeah, that was good.
You know, I thought about it. When I used to go to church, I don't go anymore. I was a little kid. They used to have those things where you fan with them, you know, the fans.
Mm-hmm.
We need to do something like A Apple so we can teach our children to read with our black newspapers.
It's funny. And we got to go back to where we was. You're absolutely right.
You know, I look at my grandmother. She didn't go to formal school. They, you know, she couldn't. They worked in the fields, but they taught each other. And mm-hmm. nowadays, we'd look down our nose at others.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have got to come together as one. And as I said, we're going to try to talk next week about all these other folks who was looking down their nose, how they're losing their jobs. And we are one, and we have to stay together as one.
And
someone wanted to know.
Ms. Tillman, I think it's beautiful what you said. And I was so glad the man mentioned Mr. E.D. Nixon.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's as if he's been forgotten in history.
It's a lot of folks, though, Janet. It's not just E.D. Nixon. The movement was fueled by a lot of people.
Miss
and that's
Mary,
why was,
Miss Sue down the street who walked, who lost jobs and things.
Right.
Who kids have never benefited from the movement. But the blacks who kept their mouths shut, kids benefit, and then they look down their nose at you. Tony Brown said a story about how these barbers and beauticians marched,
uh-huh.
and then they hired the chemist. And they said, you didn't fight for my jobs. I think some of the teachers had their kids in private schools. They've forgotten it. Miss Tillman, they got ready to get rid of you. When you don't bend back to help your own.
Yeah.
You
I'll tell you one thing. Somebody wanted to know why what mattered, what came out of the ceremony and all that. But I want to say that you have to talk about it. Everybody talks about their history and what it was, what came out of it, a rediscussion of what's going on here. And we need to talk, dare to talk about it, dare to remember. We will repeat it. Thank you,
Janet.
Our mother
took us to Tuskegee and said this was ours and we built it with our own hands.
Yeah, the minister's going back there in October. He's going to do the Million Man March celebration
Living
in Tuskegee this
year. A veil of ignorance from a race of people, the statue.
Thank you, Janet.
I'm going to let you go. Bye-bye.
Thank you. I got Dr. King's speech from the girl. The thing that he did, the eulogy, but I don't know how long it is. Ebony haven't told me how long it is. How long is it? So I might, I don't know, if I don't play it today, I'm going to be on the show one day next week with Matt, and we're going to play some more of this, and I might play his speech then because I don't really know how long this speech is. Zakiya.
Good morning, Alderman.
Good morning. You want to know your Pacific stuff? Is there anything come out of the ceremony, right?
No. Before I get to that,
you ain't got much along. You ain't got 30 minutes now.
Well, I would like to say what I call to say too,
on
and
the
that
subject?
Was the, on the subject because when you were talking about the ceremony and how they honored the four little girls who were murdered, I was watching Good Morning America, and
uh-huh.
I saw where Gail, Oprah's friend, was on a panel sitting next to Condoleezza Rice
uh-huh.
discussing the murder of the four little black girls
right.
and the horrible things that were done to black people during that time. And I remember Condoleezza Rice saying there was no need for Dr. King and the Civil Rights.
I don't remember her saying that. You got to tell me what she said. Well,
she said white folks was getting ready to be nice and good. And
I don't know nothing about that. I have not heard that.
Maybe you didn't read it. I'm just telling you what
okay.
was actual.
All right. Well, maybe.
And Nancy Pelosi, I know you remember she wouldn't let John Conyers.
Okay, are you going to talk about? I'm not going
on the floor.
Okay, yeah, I do. Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. See, Zakiya, I love you with all my heart, but when we're trying to talk about our movement, where we are, somehow you always come in. I'm not saying I give everybody an opportunity to talk, and I don't understand this, that we can talk about everybody else's history with everybody in the country, but yet we don't have a chance to discuss this openly with our children or with ourselves without doing it. I don't remember Condoleezza Rice said it. Maybe she did. But right now I'm talking about these little children. We're talking about history for our children. We must talk about it so our children can know. And I think you do us a disservice with all due respect to you. You know, I mean, it's just your question you asked Ebony was, what did the ceremony do? That was your statement you said you were willing to talk about. And I think the ceremony itself was very good. All of us who was there was good. My grandchildren is good. And we need to talk about what happened to us as a people in this country. You know, we need to know. They talk about everything that happened to them. They build monuments to them and everything like that. And ours is always pushback. Sorry, yes, I did hang up on you because I was not going to go there with you. With all due respect and all the love that I have for you, Dr. King, this is just part of his eulogy. This is part of his eulogy that he did for the three little girls. I'm not in that mood, Zakiya. My heart is heavy. Go on, play Dr. King.
What might it be, little girls? Every Negro who refuses to go down to try to register and vote participated in that act. What murdered these four girls? The apathy and the complacency of many Negroes who will sit down on their stools of do nothing and not engage in creative protest to get rid of this evil system. What murdered these four young girls? Was a Negro business and professional individual who's more concerned about his job than he's concerned about freedom and justice.
I tell you, is that all we got? I'm going to get that whole sermon one day and play for y'all. What murdered these little girls? And I don't know we have much more in there to play, because I sure wanted to play more of it. But I will bring the whole speech and play it for you, because I want to hear what you got to say. I just want to hear some of the eulogy Dr. King had. But I will promise you to get that speech and play it for you. That's a promise. Maceo, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you, Alderman Tillman?
I'm fine.
First of all, I'd just like to commend you on your presentation at Howard University.
Had a great time.
And I'd like to concur with Mansong in that I hope that you do put it on YouTube so all of those other historically black colleges, our young people can get this so that they can absorb what you were teaching to those young people at Howard, because there is a yearning for some of them. Some of them really want to know
right.
about our history.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what, Maceo? Hmm. Now, I think Jim Lee might have did it on my phone, because they called. When they found out I was there, they asked me to come in separate schools, so we didn't go prepared to film and to record, and I will never make that mistake again, man, Song, if you're listening. But I think Jim Lee recorded it on her phone, and I'll see, okay?
Oh, please. I hope so. And as you were saying, and as Mansong was saying, it is so important. Our kids, a lot of our young people want to know this history. Some of them are so absorbed in that other culture that they are lost.
Mm-hmm.
But if they, all of them are exposed to this, they will, I can see them becoming giants, you know, because that is a catalyst, a great motivation for them. And I love what you did last week in playing Paul Robeson.
And
talking about Dr. Chancellor Williams.
Oh, yeah. I'm gonna play that some more, too. What I found interesting, Maceo, mm-hmm. when Ebony and Jimmy was in college, during that time, it was mandated and mandatory that you read Chancellor Williams' book, Destruction of Black Civilization. They're not mandating that anymore. It was interesting that children didn't even know about that book. I was shocked at Howard.
Really?
Yeah.
And Dr. Williams, he taught there for 29 years?
I know, but that class I was talking to
wow.
did not know.
Wow.
That don't mean no other class might have known. But I'm just saying they're moving us back and back. That's why I was saying the reason we must do all these things is so that we could make sure our children hear and know what's going on.
Absolutely. And then lastly, you spoke about reparations. I was reading this article from the Black Planet, and Ebony did a fantastic job in disclosing, and you did a fantastic job in disclosing the people, the companies that were involved in slavery. Did you have Norfolk Southern on that list?
What we did was we went and we did a whole thing on all of these J.P. Morgan, all of the different ones, who really built their companies. And yes, the railroad was one; they had insurance.
In this particular railroad, paid $180 for two slaveholders to rent their enslaved Africans to work on the railroad.
Well, you know, one of the things is that, as Ebony was saying, that the legislation, I was a legislator, and the legislation mm-hmm. I gave mm-hmm. was really a tool for those who were fighting for reparation to take it and keep moving. That's a great tool.
Absolutely.
But it looked like since I left office that those people who were talking about reparation and even some and our people down there, but the reparation fighters got a great tool that they can pick up and fight with if they just use it. But they're not using it effectively, except the other day with Kim. Cam, when he...
Cam. Absolutely.
He did something down at the city council. But we got a bunch of cities who have passed this ordinance. And I think the fighters for reparation have got to pick it up, look at it, and fight.
I agree. And young people, pick up the destruction of black civilization, the African origins of civilization by Dr. Diop, Dr. John Henry Clark's The African Holocaust, The African Origins of Civilization by
right.
Dr. Diop and Professor John G. Jackson is a great book, a great beginner.
Diop died mysteriously, didn't he?
I believe
in New York,
did.
He was up there finna do a lecture, and then he have a heart attack, found him dead in New York hotel somewhere. Diop, I think that's what happened.
But you know, a great little book for our young people to start out with is The Introduction to African Civilizations by Professor John Glover Jackson.
It
is so great.
Okay.
I mean, it's so concise. It has the history from the beginning of humanity in Africa all the way through to the great civilization.
Okay, thank you. And I got to go because this board is
okay,
lit up.
Okay,
I'm going to try to empty it before I go.
Right. Love you.
Thank you.
Have a great week.
Thank you so much, Maceo.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ooh, okay. We're going to do Children Hold On to Your Dream, and that's what we want them to do. We got to hold on. You know, we cannot allow our children, you see them walking down the street, safe passage and all this other stuff, and what's going on and fearful, you know, in a state of shock psychologically. It's really a lot going on here, and it's up to us to give them more positive than how to do. And to you, Sakia, I'm going to look up and see what Condoleezza Rice said. I just think that we're in another space here. It's like every time we get in this space, you try to disrupt it. I don't understand, but I'm going to look it up, and I'll tell you whether she said it next week.
Children, hold on. Someone cares, someone who's there, rain or shine, sharing your dreams, your heart and your
That's
mind.
What we gotta be telling our children. Hold on, children. We got to do something. This is our future. Come on, black people. We've never been so down when we didn't push our children. The me generation, I'm going to do what I got to say. One foot on the banana, other in the grave. You don't want to put away for the young children.
And love will shine on you one day.
Yeah. Step by step. Straight ahead. The road will be hard to tread. Yeah.
Ooh.
What you get
Come on
is.
Now. That's what we gotta do, y'all. Gotta show the way. We gotta do it, y'all. We can do it. Ain't nothing to it but to do it.
And love will shine on you one day.
This old world goes around and around.
Hey, y'all. Come on, black people. We can do it. If we do it, other folks will join us. We don't need them leading us. They can join us.
What goes around and it's the sun.
Hey,
just fell to shine.
Children of Alabama, dream of the sunshine of the mind.
Yeah, dreams are the wings
under the wings or you can fly. That's what we was told. That's why we fought so hard, y'all. We got to tell our children that. That's what we was trying to tell the children and young the youth and at Howard. I told them they need an assignment. I told them that no other culture have songs that's degrading their women and their children. And if they do have one, tell me. I'm not talking about country and western blues like we sing the blues. I'm talking about there's a reason why young girls is hearing all this B's and W's and all that other stuff. Nobody else is doing it. Can that be any more violent to the mind as the body when somebody blow you away with a gun? Or deserting the black community, can it be violent, economic violent? We got economic violence going on with us. We got dissing each other. We got all kind of things. But children got to hold on, and we got to show them the way. Because dreams are the wings of the mind that you can fly. Just hold on to your dream. Hold on to your dream. Ken, how you doing this morning?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, Ken.
Wonderful. You know, you mentioned earlier at the opening of your program about how these nations are doing what they are to the president, that it's racism, you know, and you're absolutely right about that. But that made me think. I was wondering, is it possible that you could get back on either Professor Small or Professor Thompson, someone who could let us know what a lot of us don't know, is that it's more than just the royal family in Britain that controls a lot of stuff. You have a slew of other royals.
Right.
And combined together, these are oppressors in a certain sense, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
But the identity of the royal family is what's missing. You know, there's several royals out here, whether it's Spain,
right.
Holland, you know, you name it. I mean, you know, Britain, come on, you know. And
well, you know, I've got
a hand in this stuff.
Yeah, you know, and Small, if he's back from Africa, I'll see, can I get him on? I talked to him last week. He was in Africa. So as soon as he gets back, I'm going to see him. We're going to have a little discussion. And I think he had a little death in the family. When that's over with, then we'll try to get him back on. Because what I was saying, I'm not saying I'm for or against the war. I just have never, ever seen any of these white countries turn on the president of the United States like this. And it is because he's black. And Putin looks like he's trying to put the president in this place. I dare you. And I'm not. And I want the president to understand that what's happening to him is because they have never accepted, or are they accepting, a black man, face, whatever you think he is, leading America. So that, I mean, I don't like it. Now, when he's wrong, I say he's wrong. But I'm not saying for or against the war. But
right.
I do know one thing. What's being put on him right now is strictly racist.
Well, exactly. You see, I'm for the president. Don't get me wrong. But come on. He may have had a different world education than most of us.
Right.
But that doesn't mean he knows everything about the racist world that exists.
I don't think he understands, Ken. I think because a descendant of enslaved African in America see things a little different from those who was not descendants. And that's why I said to the students at Howard, and I'm saying that black studies must be put back in these schools and they must be taught by descendants of enslaved Africans in America because we have a different perspective of this nation.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. John from Princeton, New Jersey. John, y'all burning up there in New Jersey, aren't you? You're on fire.
Well, you know,
you got the fire in New Jersey. You got the water in Colorado. My God, what's going on, John?
Well, you got some people that want to live near the water, and they forget that's Mother Nature. And when Mother Nature moves, she moves.
So don't mess with Mother Nature, baby.
But what's disturbing to me when I listen to this governor here, they spent probably millions of, when Barack Obama went, he was in Barack Obama's camp, and Barack Obama gave him all that money to fix that whole seaport.
Oh, yeah, a lot of money went into that. Now it's gone to ashes. We could have put some more stuff and some jobs some other way with that.
Hello, yes. You know, so, you know, it's like history. History always repeats itself over and over and over again. I want to encourage you to keep the. I enjoy listening to you whenever you're on, whenever I have the time.
Thank you, John. You got some universities up there. You got to call us and let us come up there and speak to them. We got to talk to them.
Yes, and I think that's very important. I think the youth forget the history because it's not taught, and I blame that on the school systems because, you know, I have to give credit to former Jim McGreevy, the former governor about four terms ago. You know, regardless of his homosexuality, I don't care about that, but people didn't want him to leave. They wanted him to stay because he was always fighting for the little guy.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing McGreevy did just before he left office, and not too many people across the country know about it, McGreevy adopted a core curriculum in the school systems that kids K through 12 and college have to learn slavery and the underground.
Now, I like that. John, we have to find out about that. And, you know, it's like a Senator Shaw before he passed. Senator Shaw introduced a bill that Black history must be taught in all the schools in Illinois, not being taught. But, John, hold on. Ebony, get John's number. I want to talk to him later about some stuff. Put him on hold and give him to Ebony. Ann from Jacksonville, Florida. How you doing? Y'all got them sinkholes down there.
Oh, yeah. Only down here. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. I'm only down here visiting. I really live in Chicago. I've been down here since September the 3rd. But I was listening to, I don't know if I'm allowed to say the radio station, the major news radio station on Tuesday on the internet, and I'm listening to you on iHeart now.
Okay.
So I wanted to find out the news in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So this announcer was talking about a ceremony Wednesday that was going to happen that you attended, and when he made the announcement,
it happened Tuesday, not Wednesday.
It happened Tuesday.
Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
Okay. Well, he made the announcement Tuesday. And he did not say that the church was bombed two times.
What did he say?
He said the church caught on fire.
Now, I need to talk to them folks. What station was that?
WBBM.
And what do you know what announcement was so I can look it up and talk?
I don't know, but I was going to email them. I still am going to email them. I'm busy down here with something.
Well, do email them, and I'll look for it on. I'll try to pull it up and hear it and send something to them, too.
But he made that announcement twice. Well, maybe the next time he said the church was bombed.
Oh, no, that's what I mean by that's why it's important to discuss this, because they're rewriting our history like they're taking our music and everything else. And that's why we got to talk about it. That's why I say I don't need no negativism about this right now. This is a teachable moment for our children.
And the little girls were blown apart. He said, oh, the church caught on fire. Mm-hmm. And then he said it again, and then I was so angry. And about the walls of Europe, The grandmother, they say, when he said, of most of the European world is considered Queen Victoria. But Queen Victoria's grandmother was Queen Charlotte. Queen Charlotte was a German princess. If you look at her picture, and there's a book out there about it. I got it from the Black Bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
She was part African. She was a blonde person of African descent.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You can look at that picture.
Okay,
so
thank you.
I'm running out of
time, and I do want to play, Young Get to the Black, just a minute of it or something, because we know we want our children to hold to their dreams. They're young, gifted, and black. I don't know if the kid was Nina Simone or Donna Hathaway. It doesn't matter to me. Both of them are good. Donna Hathaway might be good for the boys, young, gifted, and black, because you are young, and you are gifted, and you are black. We have to say that, and we got to do that. We got to hold on to it, hold on to your dream. We're running out of time almost, but I just want to play a little of that. Young, gifted, and black.
It seems that she comes alive more and more every day for all kinds of things.
Is that young, gifted, and black? Is this live when she was talking? Okay, she's going to play...
In this month's Esquire, you will find two articles about her. And, of course, you know...
You went to the live version of it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Dig that.
Nina Simone was
deep. And there's a play downtown. At least it was when we left.
Okay, Courtney.
It's still there. And it's called To Be Young, Gifted, and Black.
Uh-huh. Nina Simone. Mississippi, goddamn, she said.
It's the story of her life.
Okay.
Weldon Irvin and I got together and composed a tune in memory of her. And I think that very soon now maybe 4 or 5 weeks, I won't be able to sing it anymore.
Okay.
Each time I do it.
I'm going to save that for next week when Nina Simone tell how she comes. She wrote the song because I'm running out of time, and I do want to take some calls. I wanted one that went right into the song. I wanted one. D.
Good morning, Dorothy. How are you?
Fine. We're running out of time. We're not 30
okay,
seconds.
I'll hurry up. But next week, if you get a chance, maybe, I don't know if you remember when you came to the 100th anniversary of the NAACP, I did the poem, The Four Little Girls.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to do that for you one day. And then I went back to my book where Condoleezza Rice was good friends with Denise McNair.
She was.
They were right down the street when the bombing happened.
And their family got very involved in
it. Right, but the father now was, her father was the one who was opposed to the marches and things.
Right, but a lot of the parents were scared to let their children get involved in stuff.
Right.
And they were scared trying to steer their children away. And what I was trying to do is make this teachable moment. She said it had an impact. Can you imagine this young girl, friend get bombed, blowed away, and she wants to go march and her father tell her not to? That's pretty
right.
deep. That's pretty deep.
Right.
Thank you so much. I don't know whether I have a minute of Young, Gifted, and Black or not, and I don't have time to do it. How much time I got? Okay, this is a little bit.
Young, Gifted, and Black.
This is for all of our children.
Oh,
understand. That's what we was taught when I was young, and we were told to straighten our backs up, walk tall, look a white man straight in his eyes, and fight back, because you are somebody. Don't let nobody tell you you're not. Stand up and fight. You're not someone who kill and shoot and disrespect your mama and your children and your family. Uh-uh. And we're going to learn. We got to do it. We need doctors. We need a community. Because our children is young, gifted, and black.
And that's a fact.
That is a fact. All 8 of my grandkids, I dedicate this to you and all the children throughout this country, throughout the world, black children.
We must begin to tell our young.
And not all this other stuff every day.
There's a world waiting for you.
Yours is the quest that's just.
Gifted and black, y'all. We're going to finish that song next week for you. That's where it's at, y'all. Tell our children they're young, they're gifted, and they're black. Stand up, hold your head up, look a person straight in the eyes, learn. You're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it for your race. That's how we was taught. Hey, everybody in Alabama, Mississippi, all over the place, wherever you are in the world. This has been Dorothy Wright Tillman, Coffee Tea, in a conversation with me. There's a lot of y'all on the board I wasn't able to get to. I'm so sorry because this board was lit up. Coffee, Tea, and a Conversation with me every Saturday morning from 6 to 8. You got to get up at Fine Wine. Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. Now, if you missed this program, go to Blog Talk, Dorothy Tillman. Look, type in Tillman or Coffee, Tea or Jimmy Underground. Type that in, and you can hear the conversation. Until then, y'all, let's fight, y'all. Let's fight what we believe in for the little girls and all. Reparations now. Hey, Cam, I got your package. Reparations now.
Of language, culture, and religion, of African descendants with no restriction. They cut children from my queen's guts to inbreed fear in us. My hands rough, my forefathers' hands, God bless us, forced to be a field hand by another white man. Mr. President, I'm here to represent for mine and Mother Africa, in which you raped and left behind, draining her natural resource. So to her people, pay remorse or feel the force of a former slave. Kidnapped from my land, locked in chain. Brought to a new world to maintain. Hard to survive while my kind's being hanged. Is it over now?
I'm a former slave. I've been shackled, been locked in chain, girl. But somehow my soul remains. But if it's over.
Walk to your shores, vault your walls, tell your business. Beat me till defenseless. You did this for 400 plus. And the bottom of your ships and at the back of your bus. you'll find us with a black face embedded in stuff. Survivor us of America's clutch. Enough is enough. Give us our just due. Just you didn't villain. If we configured for every crime that was committed and every bigot that got acquitted, and meanwhile and on exhibit was a black neck from a tree, we'd probably be millionaires equal day across the board, able to afford to rebuild and restore. Ignored was a black slave put to death with promised land on his mind and free on his breath. It's only correct, America, you cut up the check for the whip, wounds, and flesh, and the disrespect for every black that was strapped with whips, for every piece of cotton picked till our fingertips turned bloody.
The Talk of Chicago is 1690 WVON, Berwyn, Chicago.
NBC News Radio, I'm Alex Witt. There's a deal on the table between the United States and Russia to deal with the chemical weapons in Syria. Secretary of State John Kerry.
Syria must submit within a week. Not in 30 days, but in 1 week.
Meanwhile, Reuters is quoting a Syrian rebel leader that Assad is moving some of his chemical weapons to Lebanon and Iraq. A Greyhound bus overturned on I-75 north of Cincinnati. Reporter Richard Childs with NBC affiliate WLWT is on the scene.
This bus actually left the Cincinnati station at around 2:45 this morning. Investigators here on the scene tell us that this accident took place when the bus drifted off the road sometime around 3:45 this morning.
About 34 people were injured. NASCAR has added Jeff Gordon to make it an unprecedented 13-driver field in the chase for the championship. They determined that Gordon didn't have a fair chance to race his way into the 12-driver field and made the rule to let him in. This is NBC News Radio. The National Guard is using helicopters to evacuate Colorado mountain hamlets cut off by raging floods. NBC's Jay Gray says a week of torrential rain has not only created a lake the size of Connecticut, but has shut down water, sewer, electricity, and phones.
Many areas overwhelmed by a year's worth of rain in just 2 days.
Everywhere you go, there's just water.
Investigators are picking through the rubble that was four blocks of bars, pizza shops, T-shirt stands, and boardwalk in Seaside Park, New Jersey. The strip, just rebuilt after Superstorm Sandy, burned to the ground yesterday in a fire. NBC's Michelle Franzen is there.
They are not ruling anything out yet in this investigation, and what they will be looking at, they're asking people to send in their cell phone video. They are honing in on areas where witnesses say this fire may have started.
And a Pennsylvania mother is going to prison for abusing and underfeeding her children. She was sentenced to 14 to 50 years. Each child weighed about 30 pounds. I'm Alex Witt, NBC News Radio.
No matter what happens in life, I will always be there for my brothers. Through thick and thin, we're blood.
Except if I crush them in fantasy football, then they can cry over my untouchable roster that says top to me next season.
Blood's thicker than water, but isn't thicker than football.
Crazy about football? Head to Sears for big TVs and big brands. Shop your way members get up to $300 back in points with a purchase of a Sharp 60-inch or larger smart HD TV. This is the ultimate football experience. This is Sears. Offer ends 10/5/13. Points range from $100 to $300. Excludes clearance and closeout. See stores or sears.com/football for details. Not a member? Join today. It's free. Visit shopyourway.com or ask an associate.
I just can't handle this scene anymore. I wish I could find someone who's compatible with me and my values.
Come now. Keep the flame of hope burning. All you need is a visit to Geico.com, the one website devoted to ease, savings, and the long-lost art of chivalry. We'll take you by the hand and escort you through a free rate quote, shower you with policy managing and bill-paying tools, throw our coats down in mud puddles to protect your shoes, unless you think that'd be weird. Is that weird? For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com.
How far should your children have to go just to do their homework? Should they have to take a bus just to get online? Kids can do better in school with internet at home. That's why there's Internet Essentials from Comcast. Affordable internet so your child can do homework.